Dear Christian friends, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we're picking up again on our second lesson. We're going through the letter of Galatians, which are our readings this first part of the summer. Our lesson began in the 15th verse of chapter 2. Prior to that, in chapter 2, St. Paul tells of how he went up to Jerusalem and how he talked with Peter, James, the brother of Jesus, and the Apostle John. And it is the most important meeting in the early history of our church, because that meeting, which is also recorded in the book of Acts, the 15th chapter, tells us that when Paul went and he argued with Peter and Paul and John, they came to an agreement. And that agreement was Paul could continue to do ministry among the Gentiles. The Gentiles would not need to be circumcised. They would not have to obey the Jewish laws, but they simply had faith in Jesus Christ. And that opened up the church to the evangelization of the entire Gentile world. We would not have a church as we know it today if that meeting there with Paul and the leaders in Jerusalem hadn't ended the way it had. Because if the leaders in Jerusalem had prevailed, we would have continued to have a Jewish Christian church. You would have had to be Jewish in every way before you could become a Christian. And we wouldn't have had a worldwide church. We would have had a small church in Jerusalem. But God sent his Spirit. And so it is, Paul prevailed. And we are here today because of that. So that first part of chapter 2 in Galatians kind of gives us a little bit of historical background, and then our lesson picks up as Paul talks about the theological significance of Jesus' death on the cross. And there in our text today, he says, "We know that a person is justified not by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ." And at the end of our lesson, that last verse was, he adds to that by saying, "For if justification comes through the law, then Christ has died for nothing." It's the Gospels that give us the facts about Jesus' death and resurrection, but it's really Paul who gives us the theological understanding. What is the meaning of Jesus' death and resurrection? And so Paul here clearly gives us what we understand to be the meaning of Jesus' death, that through faith in his sacrifice, we are justified. We stand forgiven before God. That when Jesus died on the cross, he died for the sins of every generation, past, present, and future. They've all been forgiven on the cross. But we get access to that forgiveness through our faith. And so once we have faith, we know our sins are forgiven. Once we have faith, we have peace with God. Once we have faith, we are assured that our salvation is secure because of what Jesus did. So we're justified not because of our works, not because of how good we are, but because of how good God is, because it was all done on the cross for us. And so Paul lays that out in the second chapter of Galatians. We are justified, not by works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, the problem with that is that some people hear that and they said, "Oh, now I can do anything I want. Works don't matter. If I'm not saved by works, I can do anything that I want." And so now the church had to revisit that whole issue. What does it mean to then live out our faith if we're no longer under the law? And in fact, that was the struggle with the church in Jerusalem. Jerusalem could agree, yes, we're saved by grace, but then they would say, but the way you have to live is you have to be circumcised, you have to follow all the laws of the Sabbath, you have to live like a Jew. And Paul says, no, you don't have to live that way. But instead, he says, instead of living by the law, we live by a relationship. And so Paul then in our text says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so Paul is saying, if it is Christ who lives in me, if I have faith, faith is not just an intellectual thing. Faith says, God has loved me. And how will I respond to that love? And Paul trusted that if you really believe God has been gracious and loving and compassionate to you beyond what you deserve, that's going to change your life more than the law. And so that rather than trying to live by a law, Paul says, live out of faith. Live, let your actions be determined by your faith in God. And if your faith in God is in a generous God, is in a forgiving God, is in a God who didn't think of himself but sacrificed himself for others, he says, that's going to change your life more than any law that can be prescribed for you. And so that's what Paul says. Now live out your life. For me to live is now Christ. And so the Christian ethic is not the ethic of the law anymore. It is the ethic of faith in Jesus and trying to live in response to that. You know, how many times, and I know I preach it over and over again, I don't think you can hear it enough, because therefore, that's the Lutheran understanding of Christian ethics, because therefore, because God has died for me, because God has done all of this for me, if I have faith because that God did these things, therefore, I will love as I have been loved. Therefore, I will forgive as I have been forgiven. Therefore, I will think not just of myself, but I will think of others, even as Christ gave his life for the sins of the world, even as he died for us while we were yet sinners. You know, what a beautiful example of how to live in our gospel lesson today. You know, as he forgives the woman. And I love that. He who is forgiven much loves much. He who is forgiven little loves little. So in our faith, we need to believe God has forgiven us much. Every sin we've ever committed, every prejudice we've ever had, every doubt we've ever had, every time we've done something we know we shouldn't have, that's been forgiven. And in that forgiveness, we will learn to forgive and love others. And so it is. That becomes the basis of the Christian life. It is always a response to God. And so when it says in our text that we're justified by faith apart from the works of the law, it doesn't mean we're going to do less. It actually means we're going to do more. Because too many people think, oh, if I'm saved by faith, by grace, and not by works of the law, I can do whatever I want. I know I had some Roman Catholic buddies back in high school. And the old attitude was, I can do anything I want on Friday night. I can get drunk. I can do anything I want because I'm going to confession tomorrow. And then I'll just be forgiven of it. And that's not the attitude to have. And it's not just Catholics. There are plenty of Protestants that believe that same thing. I'm saved by grace, so I can do what I want. And that's not living in faith. St. Paul says, for me to live is Christ, and that he lives in and through me, and that's our goal. And so the freedom we have is not freedom from or freedom to sin. Rather, it is freedom to love as Christ first loved us. And so rather than our expectations being lowered as Christians, they're higher. Because God says, I have great expectations for you. Love one another as I have first loved you. Well, he's loved us awful well. He's forgiven us everything. He sacrificed his entire life for us. And now our ethic is to be like Jesus. How can I forgive? How can I show compassion? How can I be like Jesus was in a life of sacrifice and commitment? And that's what we are called to. Not just living by a law, but living by a relationship. And so Paul says, you want to live a better life? Get closer to Jesus. Have a better understanding of what he's done for you. Have a stronger faith in him, and that's going to change the way you live. To live a life to be like Jesus. You know, seeing Joe out here and knowing he's going to be gone, you know, one of those ministries he participated in and several others is that Kairos ministry. And because we had a weekend recently, it's still on my mind of what a powerful way to serve. But it requires a lot of sacrifice if you're going to do Kairos. Each man who works a weekend pays $125 to pay for the cost of the weekend. Each man commits to 6 Saturdays of 6 hours of training and team building. Each man agrees to write at least 40 letters to prisoners while they're in prison, and also agrees to be there for on a 4-day weekend of over 40 hours inside the prison walls. Quite a sacrifice to make. And it doesn't get you into heaven. It doesn't give you a higher place. It's done because God loved us. Therefore, we want to take that love to others. And it's a wonderful ministry. It's a tough ministry, I'll tell you that. But it's a wonderful ministry when you get around a table and you see men who have got anger issues who finally say, I'm ready to let go of that and forgive as Christ forgave me. You know, it's a wonderful thing to see people and many men who never really had unconditional love in their lives, and they experience it around that weekend. And boy, especially at that closing ceremony, as the men give their testimony of what that weekend meant to them, it is powerful. And you say, I'm glad to be a part of that ministry, even though it was a lot of work. We'd never do that if it was just the law, but God says, take my love and share it with others. Or I think of one of the missionaries we had that went to China, and they were asking him, you know, well, what is the pay? What do you get out of being a missionary? And he pulled out a little note that had been written by a Chinese student before, and it said, you know, without you, I never would have known Jesus Christ and his love. And every day, I give thanks to God for you in my prayers. And he says, that is my pay for doing this. And so sometimes we serve and we get back from serving that good feeling of knowing you've made a difference in the lives of others. And other times we love just because it's the right thing to do. There's no fuzzy feeling about it, but sometimes love makes a sacrifice because it's the right thing to do. One of the things I think about is sometimes the greatest sacrifice, as Jesus says, is to lay down your life. This last Memorial weekend, I saw an article and it was entitled, What is a Veteran? And it's the best definition I think I've ever read. And it said, a veteran is someone who at one point in their lives wrote a blank check made payable to the United States of America for an amount up to and including his life. Is that a beautiful statement for a veteran? Let me say that again. A veteran is someone who at one point in their lives wrote a blank check made payable to the United States of America for an amount up to and including his life. That's love. You know, I'm sure in training there was no fuzzy feeling when that master sergeant is training you. There's no fuzzy feeling when you enter into combat, but that's love. Doing something to protect the freedoms of someone else for our country. And so sometimes love, yes, is a good feeling where we've known God's love and we share it with other people. Sometimes it's just making sacrifices for the larger good. And sometimes those sacrifices even cost people their lives. But even at that point, why do we do it? Because he first loved us. Because he did. Jesus wrote that check payable for the entire world, that we our sins might be forgiven and we might have eternal life. And so we need to look at our life as Christians, the law versus love. On the one hand, you know, every nation has its law, and the nation requires us to obey the law. And whether we're Christian or not, that doesn't go away. That's a minimum requirement, called to obey the law or face the consequences. But God asks much more of us than obeying our country's laws. Because Christ has loved you, therefore love one another. May you strive to be like Paul when he said, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." Amen. Will you stand and pray with me? Dear Lord God, thank you for the vision of that woman, forgiven so much and loved so much. Lord, give us eyes of faith to see how much we've been forgiven, how much we've been loved. We are justified by that faith. We are saved by your grace. And Lord, let that be the power that helps us live lives in our world today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.